Libation, known by many names, acknowledged in many ways. We salute you, Father, Mother, God, who comes in the infinite expressions of life, from the one cell amoeba to the galaxies of galaxies. We salute you and empower you to use us as your vehicle of change and healing for our people and the world. We say thank you, God, for making us in your likeness, endowing us with your powers to be all things, to know all things, and to change all things, so that we may look like you by living your immutable law. Thank you for the privilege of giving birth to civilization, teaching the world how to live as divine beings. We empower you, our honorable ancestors, for preserving the laws of Ma'at and the principles of Nguzo Saba, so that we can reclaim them, embrace them, and manifest them in our personal lives, in our community, and in the African diaspora. We are in your presence, and we acknowledge that you are in ours. We come together once again to continue the work of restoring our people to our traditional greatness and awakening the memory of our greatness by calling your names and telling your stories. We pledge to study and practice our African culture and history, and to use them to prepare a place for your return as our children, our children's children, and the generations to come, so that we may once again become the civilized leaders of the world. May our eyes be the eagle, our strength be the elephant, and the boldness of our life be like the lion. And may we remember and honor the legacy of our ancestors for as long as the sun shines and the waters flow. Sifas, Zote, Zina, Watu, Waki, Africa, all praise to African people. Sifas, Zote, Ziende, Kwamababu, Waki, Africa, all praise to African ancestors. Sifa Zote Ziende Kwamaisha Ki Africa. All praises to African life. Ashe.
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 History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Amargani.
You are listening to Elders of Sankofa with host the Elders. The Elders of Sankofa radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at Sankofa_think@outlook.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Habari Ghani.
Hi,
this is Brother Kwesi.
Bargani.
To our elders of Sankofa, and a special thanks to our listening audience for the calls and comments as we close 2020.
We look forward and address something with the stimulus package.
We look forward to your continued support. The Black Reality Think Tank as we move forward into 2021. Be well, fam, family. It's Kwanzaa time, celebrating Ujamaa with the Sankofa elders. Ujamaa is celebrated December 26th, the first of 7 days of celebrating Kwanzaa and empowering ourselves as Africans in America. Sankofa elders will celebrate our African culture and the universal principles of the Nguzu Saba that are the first steps toward taking our rightful place on the world stage as a proud people, aware of our collective power and of our greatness. The elders will explain with Ujamaa unity, what unity looks like, and personally, in the family, and in the community, in the African diaspora. With that, Queen Mother, Shabaka.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry. We have a
Kwanzaa profile with Sister Didi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Didi.
Yes, sir. Good evening, family, and I just have a little something here to say about Dr. Karanga. He was born in Parson Pittsburgh, Maryland, and moved to California in 1958, where he studied at Los Angeles City College and UCLA. At LACC, he became involved in campus politics, was elected the first African study body president, and was active in civil rights, African independence, and peace movement. He also chaired the Los Angeles chapter of the African American Association. Karenga transferred to UCLA, earning a BA and a MA in 1964 in political science with a specialization in African studies. After a year of working on his doctorate, he left UCLA to work in the Black Freedom Movement. At UCLA, he had begun to develop a philosophy of radical culture and social change, which he embraced some of the initial teachings of major activists, intellectuals he studied, including Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Alamar Carr, some really good ones. Yes, thank you for helping me pronounce that one, because he's one of my favorite people. Doc Rogers knows that. But anyway, and I left out, he also studied a lot with Kwame Ture, I believe.
Kwame Ture.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kwame Ture. Thank you, Queen Mother. Karenga stressed revolution as both culture and political, and argued that culture revolution precedes and make possible the political revolution, for it transform consciousness. And then also using his expanded knowledge of African culture and language, Karenga in 1965 also developed the Nguza Saba, the seven principles as a key value system for Black life and struggle. And in 1966, created the African American and Pan African holiday Kwanzaa, a 7-day holiday from the 26th of December to the 1st of January, which celebrates family, community, and culture. Karenga and us have also played major roles in Black intellectuals and political culture science. The 1960s include the movement of Black Power, Black Arts, Black Studies, Black Students, ancient Egyptian Studies, Reparations, and the Million Man March, Day of Absa, for which Karenga wrote the mission statement. All right, you all. I'm going to hand that back over to Brother Kwesi.
Queen Mother Shabaka?
Yes.
Turning the mic over to you. Information
okay.
On Kwanzaa.
Okay. Habarigani.
Habarigani.
The response today is Umoja. Umoja, the first day of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa, which started as an African American holiday and is now a Pan African holiday, celebrated all over the world, reflects the identity and experience of African people in general and African Americans in particular. Kwanzaa is the gathering of the people, a special reverence of the Creator and creation, a commemoration of the past, a recommitment to our highest ideals, a celebration of all that is good for African people. Kwanzaa is a time for reassessing, reaffirming, and rewarding all that we have done in the past year and in our past history. It is a holiday that reflects our African values and culture. Celebrated for 7 days, December 26th to January 1st annually. Dr. Maulana Karenga, who was at the time a professor of Black Studies at California State University, realized that Africans living outside of Africa were detached from the values and culture that Africans on the continent have lived by from time immemorial. Values that promote self-esteem and social harmony. He wanted us to be empowered with identity, purpose, and direction so that we can work together to rebuild our nation. So he created Kwanzaa in 1966. Kwanzaa gives us something to connect to and make our lives better in order to feel good about ourselves. So the word Kwanzaa is derived from the Kiswahili word meaning first harvest. It's traditional throughout Africa and other parts of the world to celebrate and give thanks for the harvest. So our harvest in America can take on different forms if we're not on the farm growing crops. It could be learning skills that we've learned. It could be institutions that we've started. It could be learning and or teaching our history and so on. All of that is part of the harvest that we celebrate during Kwanzaa. So the 7 days are spent thinking about and living the seven principles of the Nguzo Saba. Nguzo Saba is Swahili for seven principles. The seven principles are umoja. That's the first day, the day we're celebrating today. And that means unity. Unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And we're going to talk more about that as we go through the program. Kujichagulia means self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kuumba, creativity. And Imani, faith. One candle is lit for each day of Kwanzaa. And each candle represents a different principle of the Nguzo Saba. So special greetings for today are what we said earlier, Habari Gani, which means what's the news or what's happening. And the response is the principle of the day. So today's response will be umoja. And we have it's become a trend that we say Habari Gani, and the person replies, umoja Habari Gani. And the other person says, umoja. So it becomes like a little conversation. So there are symbols used in the ceremony. And they can include a woven mat, which is called mkeka, a candle holder. Oh, and the mkeka symbolizes our foundation. A candle holder called kinara, which symbolizes our African familyhood. Then there are seven candles, one for each of the Nguzo Saba. They're called the Mishuma. And the candles are one black, three red, and three green. And they symbolize, each one of them stands for one of the principles of the Nguzo Saba. Other symbols in the that can be used in the ceremony are vivunzi, which are ears of corn, and they represent the children. So traditionally, you put the number of ears of corn to represent how many children there are in a household, but always put at least one ear of corn, because the kernels of the corn, each one of those kernels has the potential to become a whole stalk of corn. The another symbol is the mazal, or the crops. Usually we use fruit, apples, oranges, bananas, nuts, or you can use vegetables as well. And that symbolized the fruits of our labor for the past year. And then there's the Kikombe Shaumoja, or the unity cup, which is used for pouring libation and for community sharing. And we'll symbolize the Kikombe Shaumoja in our closing ceremony. And then there's the Wadi. It's our gifts, and those gifts symbolize the rewards for commitments made and kept in the past year. Usually the gifts are cultural gifts that we give to the children. So then there's the ritual itself. And the ritual has three parts, and people can do these three parts in different ways. But the three parts are the libation, honoring our creator, our ancestors, and the force of nature. The candle lighting, which includes discussing the principle. And that part can be customized. You can add songs, stories, entertainment, projects, however long you want your ceremony to last and however many people you want to participate in it. And then the third part of this ritual is the harambes, the pulling together. And we, during that part, we, the people celebrating all say the harambes together seven times. And on the last one, they hold it as long as your breath lasts. And that is pulling together for a fruitful next year. So the Sankofa elders will be performing the ritual. We already poured libation at the beginning of the program. And do you want to go now into the lighting of the candle, Brother Horace?
I think we're going to go into announcing the names of the elders of Sankofa.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was, we had it down for you to announce the names of all the elders.
Okay. So we will have the candle lighting ceremony performed by the elders of Sankofa. And the elders will discuss umoja, which means unity. Unity personally, unity in the family, unity in the community, and unity in the African diaspora. And as they light their candle, they will explain to us what unity looks like in those areas of our lives. So we will have Sister Doritha Osercha Ansi, who will discuss unity personally and will light the Umoja candle for unity personally. And then we will have Dr. James, who will tell us what unity looks like in the family. And she will light the candle, the Umoja candle for unity in the family. Then we'll have Brother Charles Robinson, who will talk about unity in the community, what it looks like in the community. And he will light the Umoja candle for unity in the community. And then we will have Sister Efua Ma'at, who will talk about unity in the African diaspora and light the unity in the African diaspora among all African people. So with that, we can start our candle lighting and discussion with the elders. Sister Doretha?
Okay. Sister Doretha?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Light the candle of Umoja, which means unity within oneself with God, Him in me, and me in Him. Unity starts with me as an individual in unity with God, my Creator, who has given me as a natural part of my being peace and inner drive to come together with others. Establishing and maintaining peace in all situations is the key principle of success by coming together with others. Peace is the natural, essential, and true emotional state of my being. It's the absence of the compulsion to automatically respond in a specific emotional way. Man's nature is to be impartial, one with all. When I'm at peace, as opposed to being upset, angry, afraid, distressed, I can see better. I can hear better. My thinking is clearer. I perform better. My IQ is higher. I can have greater strength, and I can exhibit greater health and healing. Maintaining my peace in the face of difficulty and challenges are just events for increasing and acquiring wisdom and spiritual power that assists in bringing me to success in my life and success in coming together with others. Umoja, unity within myself with God. I light the candle.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Doretha.
That was beautiful.
Yes, yes. Dr. Dane?
It is my privilege to explain what Umoja looks like for the family. The family represents the source for protection, nurturing, support, and teaching of the next generation, of its history, and its responsibility. We have responsibilities as family, and a family coming together to nurture their community, as well as their nuclear family, for greatness. We have sometimes lost sight of the family which makes our conversation, our celebration at this time, so important, to remind us how important family is for our success, for our support. And it is with that principle that our family and our community family moves toward the greatness that has been planted for us through our ancestors. I light at this time the Umoja candle for unity in the family.
Wow.
I say. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. James. Brother Charles, you can go ahead with Umoja.
And next we have Umoja in the community. Our community is faced with many issues right now, including education, health, well-being, family, economics, financial, social, and we got the pandemic, and we have a lot of trauma and violence and homicides. And despite that, our community is whole and complete. We have an abundant community. Because inside of our community, we have individuals who have gifts and potential to share and to give. And we also have a legacy of peace and collaboration, going all the way back to the San Bushmen on the Kalahari, who had to pull together the roots from the ground and hunt and gather for their very survival. We don't live in a desert right now here in Milwaukee, but nevertheless, we still must pull together for our survival. And so if we look at what causes unity, it is leaders articulating a vision that the community can hear. And then there are levels of unity. There are those who may accept what the leaders are articulating and may agree with what the leaders are articulating. But in order to have real unity that transforms, we must have alignment. Now, the synonym for alignment is champion. And most of us think that, you know, when we hear the word champion, it means something about winning or losing. But alignment means champion, and we must be champions for each other, for our community. The mayor's office, Marquette University, have taken on initiatives to deal with the trauma in our community. And so far, they have not been successful. And what's missing is unity, real unity, authentic unity. That's what's missing. In order to have that unity, we must have all of our institutions in our community, in our neighborhoods working together, the schools, working with the churches, working with the families and the block clubs, and with law enforcement. Only then, when we have all hands on deck, operating as a unit, we will not have the unity that we need to transform the issues that we're facing right now, the opportunities that we're facing right now. Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you.
Are you lighting the candle?
And with that, I am lighting the candle.
Thank you.
For Umoja, unity in the community.
Yes, thank you.
Sister Athea. Sister Athea.
Pan-Africanism. Umoja. Pan-Africanism is a belief that African people on both the continent and throughout the diaspora share a common origin in the struggle of the African people against enslavement and colonization. Unity is vital to our economic, social, and political progress and to unify and uplift the people of the African descendants. To move forward in unity as an African people, we do have a role to play, as was identified in personal identity under family and community. When we put that together, we can then start to work on Pan-Africanism. We must unapologetically, through a global connection of an African-centered, to create networks, collaborate in partnership that will develop solidarity among our people globally. Dr. Karenga believes that practice proves and makes possible everything. So once we decide and start working from an individual, moving out to our family, moving it out to our community, and moving it globally, we will then be on one accord to improve our lives, to make our ancestrals proud. And with that, I say ashe. Now I light the candle for Pan-Africanism. Umoja. And so shall it be.
Thank you, Sister Sophia. Okay. Any callers? Are our lines open at this time?
No, too early.
I'd like to remind us of the purpose of the Elders Council, and the purpose of this organization is to use African principles of unity and cooperation to create a healing environment for our community. And as our sponsor, I'll use this opportunity as well to mention to our listeners, our sponsor is edocadvice.com. That's edocadvice.com. It's a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to health or medical concerns. The questions are answered by health professionals and those who are knowledgeable about helping you make decisions about your personal health that makes sense to you. We have known there is a difference in the information and care provided to people of color. The media is now providing for us the data related to that. It is referred to as health disparities. Unfortunately, the healthcare system is not doing enough to best serve us and keep us safe. EDOC advice does not replace your health professional or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the best information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other health professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you. Please visit www.edocadvice.com.
Thank you, Dr. James.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. James.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something?
Please.
Yes, Queen Mother.
I just wanted to comment that the Sankofa elders have been coming together for just about a year, a little over a year. And when we talk about unity in the community, this is an exemplary example of unity in the community, where the elders come together. In African tradition, the elders are the keepers of the tradition.
Okay.
So this year, Kwanzaa was challenged by COVID. You know, we are not able to come together. Usually, on the first day of Kwanzaa, we have a big celebration. People come from all over the city. You see people that you haven't seen since last year. It's a real well-attended celebration. But because of COVID, we're not able to do that. But the elders of Sankofa said, okay, we can't come together, then let's do it on the radio, you know? And mm-hmm. so this is an example of unity, also an example of the elders being willing to learn about our culture, because some of us have not celebrated Kwanzaa before. So to come together and keep this tradition going is exactly what elders do in African. And this is a perfect example of umoja, unity. Anybody else?
It really is. I agree with you so much. We're organized. And because we're committed and we have alignment, there's nothing that can stop us.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes, I'm in total agreement as well. You know, our numbers started off a little greater, but as things progressed and we lost people through sickness and before the COVID hit, and that just complicated things. So we're blessed to be here and to have dedicated people to continue with this struggle and try to help navigate people and learn the new Guzman Sala principles. So I appreciate everybody for all your support.
I'm in strong agreement. We have those that are in various levels of knowledge, and there's no shame. There's no trying to embarrass anyone. We're all in support and helping one another. And it's about those that wanting to grow and also being comfortable in a safe space to be able to ask those questions in order to grow and understand, in order to share and move and transition.
Ashe. And I'm really in agreement with what you all are saying. Although we may have lost some people, unity, we still had unity. We still came together and stayed together, those of us that are still together. And not only that, I love it if one was missing or you hadn't heard from them, unity again. We would call and check on one another. Queen Mother, Sabaka, everybody, Brother Quasi, everybody would just call in and check on one another. And we still stayed together. And we were always, we always asked one another how you and the family are doing, you know, all of us. And that's unity, you know, checking on one another. Checking on one another, checking on the family, still coming together.
Ashe, I agree with everything that that everybody said, and we're demonstrating what community is, just like Queen Mother said. The way we are operating among ourselves is the way the larger community could operate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we could share this with the community as the elders of Sankofa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm one of those first-time Kwanzaa persons. While I'm familiar with the concepts, I was not familiar clearly of the principles, and I look forward to continue to learn. And this has been a very rewarding opportunity to learn more about our history and to understand more about what has allowed us to be resilient despite the many challenges that we have faced.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been extremely rewarding on a personal level, and perhaps a little intimidating as you find yourself embarking upon a new body of knowledge that was not a part of your usual areas of attention. And so I would say that this has been a great opportunity for me to look forward to sharing this more with my family and my extended family. Of course, wanting them to achieve the greatness that we have come to learn is there for us. But sometimes we can forget it and not be aware of it, which makes this whole concept of Kwanzaa and its creation even more exciting, recognizing that there was, in fact, a need. And so I'm looking forward to not only today and this discussion as well as our many other discussions, but also the opportunity to welcome our listeners to offer their comments, their questions, their thoughts that will help us move toward what we hope and know we can achieve as we work together.
Ashe.
You said a mouthful, Dr. James. That was really nice.
You know, many times when we discuss the conditions that our people are living in America, and we talk about the disparities, oftentimes we use other ethnic groups to compare ourselves to, such as the Jews and the Hmong and, you know, other ethnic groups that seem to be more united and that seem to make more progress than we do. And so my observation of those groups is that they do practice umoja. They have a common goal and they work together. And so by having the Nguzo Saba for us, that gives us a way of connecting and coming together and having living united. So I'm really grateful for Dr. Karenga giving us these principles to live by.
Yes.
Because if we can get our people to live by the Nguzo Saba, there's nothing we can't accomplish.
Okay.
Yes, Ashe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ashe. It's about reclaiming our culture. I remember when we were in college students 50 years ago, we were petitioning the universities across America, black students who were, in many cases, we were first generation college students. And we realized right away that what we were learning wasn't really for us. It was Western civilization, European history. And then those of us who found ways in the library to get in touch with our own culture, then we began to petition the universities. I recall I was trying to get them to have Swahili at UW-Whitewater, one of the 13 demands that we had. And then over the years, we kind of lost sight of, at least I did, recapturing that culture. But it's not too late. And so even I'm old as I am right now, I have to humble myself and learn some of these basic principles that's going to save us.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ubuntu, I am because we are. If we just practice that principle alone, that would give us a sense of community and belonging that we don't have right now.
Ashe. Love that. You know what? I wish we could have like our own calendar or something, with all of our Black African festivals and days, such as Kwanzaa. I was reading in this one book where it said the calendars of African countries were filled with festivals that celebrated all important events. Harvest festivals usually begin in late December and continue for 7 or 8 days until the first day of the new year. And with each day having a special meaning attached to it, that would be really nice too. If like on that day we can have that and people would see that on that day. And another thing, I would really, like Brother Charles and Dr. James were saying, it's kind of a challenge, and I know it is for me, with even pronouncing the names. And I want to learn how to pronounce them properly. I am humble. I don't mind anyone correcting me because I want to pronounce it correctly. Because I love telling other young people. I love teaching my grandchildren. I sent them Happy Kwanzaa, and then they like, "What's that, Granny?" And then I found, what it was. I sent it to them, and our children need to know because I believe that was Brother Charles who just said it's not being taught in the schools at all. None of our story. It's all his stories, not ours. And as African proverbs say, until the lion tells the story, we must tell our stories and stop going along with his stories. Because our story is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Well, I was going to say that the Nguzo Saba principles were developed by Dr. Karenga, and I'm thinking about why. So in the 60s, when you're talking about for personal standards for persons of African descent based on norms and mores of communal living and
and cultural living of African, you know, from Cape Town to Cairo, intended to serve as a universal Black value system for the descendants of Africans and from the Africans from the U.S. and throughout the diaspora, who were forcibly separated from its own original culture. And so when you think about us and him consciously making those efforts to give us something to look at for those of us that were taken away from our home and those of us that never knew certain places, and you know, the strengthening and development and maintaining the community, what we've learned to do has just been important, and we just need to learn how to defend and develop it even more so. You know, and that's something we just need to work on. I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it looks like the Creator has a master plan. Like Yusuf Lateef, that jazz piece, the Creator has a master plan.
And
now we separated all over the world, and we all have Africa in common and African culture in common. And it looked like to me that those African principles, if applied universally, could actually save the world.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe for sure that those principles can save us in America, restore us to who we were, and to remember how to do it. That's the most important part, not knowing how. To be aware and not know can be difficult, and maybe that's what's kept us, you know, on this journey to restoration, is knowing how. And I think with this presentation for just today, I hope that I know I have been giving some information and understanding of how to do it.
I think we're at the top of the hour. I'm sure we have.
Beautiful.
That's a beautiful piece.
Yep. Here's your beautiful time for an Awakening Media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, with host Brother Oshi, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, with host Brother Jihad Ahmed. 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Maria Kambom and Sister Nataki Kambom. 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening with creator of Time for an Awakening and host Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed, and get involved.
You are listening to Elders of Sankofa with host The Elders. The Elders of Sankofa radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at Sankofa_think@out.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Thank you. We're back, Elders of Sankofa, with our celebration, our first day of Kwanzaa. Abarigani. Abarigani. What we're going to do is we're going to count numbers 1 through 7. And as each one is counted, we're going to say Habarigani. And then as we get to the last one, we're going to say that.
I was going to say Harambe.
Harambe.
Harambe, pulling together.
Pulling together.
Mm-hmm. Harambe.
So you're going to count us out?
What?
Did you say one?
About, yes.
Harambe.
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 Two. Harambe.
Harambe. Harambe.
Three.
Harambe.
Let's get it together. Four.
Harambe.
Five.
Harambe.
Six. Harambe.
Harambe.
All together at seven. Seven. Harambe.
Harambe. Harambe.
All right. We will open up the line for questions or comments. Can you call us? If not, again, I would like to thank our listeners and supporters for the year of 2020. All your calls and support and questions and answers really helped us move forward to where we are now. We look for continued support from you and calls and comments. We just thank you.
Is this Henry, Brother Alfonso?
Brother Alfonso?
Yes, yes.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. May I have permission to speak, elders?
Yes.
Yes, you may.
Yes, yes. Harambe family, Harambe.
Harambe.
Moja. I am truly humbled, truly honored to sit back and listen to you all. It's very heartwarming to see the commitment that you all have put into continuing to build and shape and mold the elders of Sankofa. Like Queen Mother said, we started off maybe a year and a half, but officially it's been a year. But the work that we put in to establish the Milwaukee Council of Elders, once again, for what on the outside listening in, this is truly what we envision with the elders, with the genius, the wisdom, and the knowledge of you elders in Milwaukee who have invested your time in this, creating a space to have these type of conversations, take ownership and leadership of many of the issues that are being faced in Milwaukee, and hopefully other communities throughout the country. Elders are organizing to once again take ownership of many of the conversations in bridging the gap between the millennials and other generations so that we can start truly practicing Emoja. So once again, I am truly honored to listen to y'all and the wisdom and the knowledge that is being put forth through what you guys are doing. Once again, this was truly the vision of what we wanted to do and going to continue to do. So thank you all for your commitment to this process.
And we thank you for your call. It was great hearing from you.
Yes, thank you. Great hearing from you.
And
we thank you, Alfonso, for your vision.
Yes.
You had the vision. We caught it. And so that's an example of how we have to go forward. We have the vision. We got to make it contagious so that others will catch it, just like the virus.
Yes.
This pandemic has been a lesson for us on how things can go viral, you know?
Yeah.
That virus, you get one virus looking for a friendly habitat. And once they find that friendly habitat, then they replicate themselves. So that's what we have to do next year. We have to replicate ourselves so that we begin to grow. And before you know it, African culture and African liberation will be a pandemic.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, I think we consciously move forward by getting one of them out of the White House. So that's not done yet, but. So.
Well, we'd like to make sure that our listeners know how to reach us if they have some comments or questions, words of support. And that number to call is 215-490-9832. We are open to receive your calls and to remind the Sankofa guests that we are on, and so our sound is pretty sensitive to any background noise, but we want to make sure that our listeners can know how to reach us. So that's 215-490-9832. Listeners, give us a call.
All right. Well, that's to listen to Brother O'Father. That was great hearing from y'all.
Yes. Done
a lot of work with us, so we appreciate that. And I just like to say I appreciate all of you for coming in to this situation about a year ago. And you guys welcoming me and just taking me under your wings as I learned how to navigate these times and try to assist and bring help where I can. So I appreciate you. Thank you. Bye, Jay. And move forward, we won't go into any of our lineups for next year, but we just again appreciate all the support and calls we've been getting for this year. This has been, like I said, a difficult year with the pandemic, among other things. We dealt with a lot of violence in our own communities, and there's so many turbulent situations with loss of life and sicknesses, and just financially, you know, it's just been a strain on so many people that we're missing out on just a lot of good things. But through it all, you know, we're still standing. And again, I appreciate you for continuing to be here under these circumstances and for everything that everybody's doing.
Well, I hope that all of our listeners are aware, and I'm discovering it as well. The website www.timeforanawakening.com has a wealth of information, and which I think is particularly important to know during this very challenging social time that we are living in. What else can you do to strengthen your mind and keep your mind strong and creative during a time that's really taking us away from any of that type of thinking? But we have this website that has some fabulous programs and topics. And just going through that, you don't have to go to your cable or to some of the other media. Just go into timeforawakening.com and to look at the various programs that are representing not only up-to-the-minute current events, but some very thought-provoking subjects that, frankly, prior to COVID, I would not probably have thought that I had the time to spend. But I can tell you I find myself going from one program to the next, and the time has passed. And it's just a joy to hear the conversations and the subject matter that's covered. And just as we are coming to you in this way regarding Kwanzaa and welcoming in Kwanzaa, but there's just so many other also fabulous programs that are existing, and so we certainly encourage you to check those out as well as the programs that the Elders of Sankofa have brought to you and your attention. So we welcome you. There's a telephone number if you'd like to join us, and that number is
215-490-9832. Give us a call. And I'd also like to add that when we talk about principles of Nguyen Saba, this is not December 26th to the 1st that we should be practicing. And this is something that we should practice every day. This is the only way it's going to be sustainable if we practice these principles every day. And that should be our goal, to focus on a principle and work at it on a daily basis.
Well, I don't know that that our listeners are aware, but we have used these principles over these many months as a tool and a guide for our programming. And so we figure out what the subject matter is to be, and we want to select subjects that serve to highlight these principles, and so I think it allows us to provide a way to share this information with others, as well as some current issues and topics that we can all benefit from, and try to apply this to our personal lives and our day-to-day interactions with others. This is not just an exercise. This is real. And so this has been a wonderful guide for us in the programming, but certainly it crosses over into our day-to-day interactions with our families, with our community, and with our Pan-African experience with those globally. So we have a platform that allows us to learn more, and we have a platform that will allow us to be personally strengthened, as well as reaching out to our community.
I just wanted to say that many of the terms in the Kwanzaa celebration and the Nguzo Saba are Kiswahili terms. And Dr. Maulana Karenga adopted the Swahili language for the Nguzo Saba and for Kwanzaa because it is in line with our aim to be Pan-African. Swahili is a Pan-African language. It's not spoken by one, it's not a tribal language. It's spoken in 8 different African countries, and it's on the table for the AU to adopt as the continental language of all of Africa, which would be so beautiful if you could travel all over Africa and speak, and people would speak the same language. That would be wonderful.
Someone share with us what this Kwanzaa experience would be like if we were able to come together live? Some of the programming, I understand, has been practiced certainly in Milwaukee. There have been groups that have used these days as an opportunity to come together. Well, what might that look like?
Well,
I know in the past, what we will attempt to do is use one of the days as far as with the Kwanzaa principle to have a community forum to talk about when, as far as collective work and responsibility, looking at that from an economics perspective, and having conversations with business owners, with entrepreneurs and consumers to talk about how do we begin to look at spending our dollars in a unified way, a collective way to help Black businesses prosper during this time to start the momentum moving into the next year, getting brothers and sisters to continue to support and spend their money with Black businesses. So I know those were some of the things that we attempted to do around, you know, collective work and responsibility, but then also talking about from a health perspective, when we talk about being self-determined, looking at how do you begin to look at your health circumstances, your health condition, and start defining that and being more aware of how do you become more healthy spiritually, psychologically, and physically. So those were some of the things that we would do if we were able to get in a space and have community forum. So that's those are some of the ideas that we would do.
Thank you. That's
helpful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me I recall some gatherings that included our youth who were invited to perform. They provided music. And I don't know all that was involved, but I knew it was very enjoyable. And seeing the families come out and participate and support their other members of the community, particularly the youth, as they serve to illustrate the principle for that day. Does anybody know anything more about that?
Mm-mm.
Yes, well, for decades now, the Wisconsin Black Historical Society has hosted at least Umoja.
Mm-hmm.
And at that celebration, as I was saying earlier, it's like the village coming together. And during the Umoja ceremony, when we get to the candle lighting, you know, you start out with the libation and you talk about the program, the purpose of coming together. And there's songs, people sing songs. They have, sometimes they have a guest speaker. I think, Alfonso, weren't you one of the guest speakers last year?
Yes, I was one of the guest speakers, yes.
And they have guest speakers. And then they have performers and they like to focus on the children. So we have children dancing and drumming.
Yes.
And different programs have different activities. And that's what I was saying earlier. That's when you can customize it to fit your group. If it's a family, sometimes families can have discussions about the family tree or about Black history. I'm opening right now. I just got these packages in the mail, and this is the Black history trivia cards that I ordered from the Sankofa Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they have questions, Black history questions, with multiple choice answers on each one of the cards. So I'm anxious to to use these with my grandchildren. And then the other thing that just came in the mail that I just opened is the book, Africa 101, The Wake-Up Call, by Dr. Arikana Chiombari Kwal.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Pardon me?
I just saw that, Queen Mother. I just saw that on something also.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I ordered it, and it just came today. And it has... Uh, 23 chapters, starting with the first call. Dr. Arikana is a medical doctor, so it looks like she's using this as a, you know, the diagnosis. She talks about the call, the diagnosis, and the Berlin Conference. She talks a lot about the Berlin Conference, how Africa was divided up into these 55 different sovereign countries that don't have resources and so are at the mercy of the colonizers to give them, to aid them. And by aiding them, they get them into debt that they can never get out of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anxious to go through this book.
Oh, I bet.
Well, Queen Mother Shabaka, can you, if you would not mind sharing, we had, I thought, a wonderful gathering this past week. And we together participated in an exercise that you brought to us. And we really had quite a lot of fun with this, even though it was virtual. Can you go into a little more detail about what that exercise was and perhaps there are some others that might want to pursue that same activity?
I will do my best to try to explain it, but we called it interactive groups. It comes from Dr. Anthony Mensah's COVISED process. And COVISED is an acronym that I really don't remember what the letters stand for. But it's my understanding is that Dr. Mensah developed the system when he was teaching in Ghana. And he had students who came from different ethnic groups. And the students did not want to cooperate with their rival ethnic groups. And so he developed this system where they had to work together. They had to reach a consensus, and they had to interact with every other student in that larger group. And each person had the opportunity to put input in and express themselves. And in the end, they would all be in agreement. It's an ingenious system. It's kind of a mathematical system because it works best when you have a number of people that's a perfect square, like 9, 16, 25, like that.
Well, we were working was it six of us that were working with that in our assignments?
Yes. Uh-huh. We had six, so we had to improvise. We had to improvise, and what we're going to have to do for next week is to see how we can tweak it so that everybody gets an opportunity to interact with everybody else. That's the goal. So that nobody is left out or separated or doesn't get their just input. And every time I've ever experienced it, it was like magic that everybody came out with the same exact action or decision. Yeah.
Wow.
It's beyond democracy.
I'm sorry.
I just said it's beyond democracy.
Oh yeah, no, it's not democracy.
It's beyond democracy.
Yeah, it's more like what you described as the San people. You know, it's where you come out with a win-win. Democracy is win-lose.
It's more like consensus,
yes.
Egalitarian consensus.
Well, we did some work prior to this. We had some projects that mm-hmm. we listed. And from those lists of projects, we made some selections. So we had quite a number of projects. Can anybody mm-hmm. share some of that? The projects that we came up with? I thought they were pretty interesting, from learning Swahili to visiting Africa. Quite an extensive list of pretty ambitious as well.
Conflict resolution.
Working toward narrowing that down.
Yes, these projects were the ideas of the members based on the Nguzo Samba. So it wasn't that somebody assigned us projects. These were our own ideas for right. what we do based on the principles of the Nguzo Samba. In 2021, what we can do next year based on those principles. And so I'm looking at one paper. It says, promote the Nguzo Saba and Ma'at for empowerment of the community, plan a school,
right.
Read the book, Africa 101, establish radio broadcast and incorporate the youth in that broadcast, learn Swahili, like he said. Get trained in conflict resolution. Host and facilitate healing circles and discussion circles.
So it was a pretty extensive list
uh-huh. yeah.
of ideas
yes.
that we came up with.
Yes, it was. And then we have to narrow it down to just six things that we all agree on.
Okay.
Well, one of them, as I recall, was to continue the radio broadcast
yes.
With a focus that continues on the Nguzo Saba and Ma'at principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing here. And
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, are there listeners who perhaps have some ideas of programs that they'd like to see us pull together for their enrichment? And we do have, as I recall, talked about a email address. And Sister Doretha, I think you were giving us that information about the email address, because there may be those who would like to reach out to us, maybe not calling in, but maybe they want to send us a message, perhaps about some programs they'd like to see us cover.
Yes, we have that email address that's ready to go to hear any comments regarding our shows, any comments about programs and suggestions. The email address is small letters, no caps, Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, of MKE. Sankofa Council of MKE at gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you all.
So maybe they can help us. Maybe the listeners can help us with some of these projects that we came up with. We call them action items. And so now they've got an email address to share that information. If you can give that to us just another time so we can share that people have it.
Repeat it. Is that what you want me to do?
Yes, please.
Okay, that is Sankofa Council of MK, all lowercase, at gmail.com. Sankofa Council.
There's some kind of interference. You can hardly hear you.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Yeah, there's some kind of interference.
Everybody mute.
Dr. Rogers, do you know if there's anything that's causing some difficulty for our listeners calling in? I've gotten a message here that we have a listener who's trying to get into the meeting and is not able to do that. Our number is 215-490-9832. And is there anything that that we can do that and check to make sure that our listeners are able to get in when they call?
Dr. Rogers may be having some difficulties. Well, that's probably why we're not getting a response.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know that on this end, I mean, quiet and still, I got nothing moving around, so I know the noise is coming from here. I'm in a different place. So. Sorry, listeners, about the static and the interference that's going on. Please stay with us. I'm trying to get this resolved as soon as possible.
Brother Horace, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, there are several individuals with their microphones open that's causing that distraction. 414-241, if you could mute your phone, it would be very helpful. If you could please mute your phone, it would be helpful. And Dr. James, if they are not getting in on the telephone, that's not at this end. We wouldn't be able to control the telephone calls.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they're using our number, the 215-490-9832, they should be able to enter the program. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Boy, I wonder what. Wonder if the people. I have a message that someone's having trouble trying to get in using that number.
There's a Chicago call that just came in. 773-574. There's a Chicago call.
Okay.
I just got
it. Caller, go ahead. Caller, are you with us?
773-574. They've just logged in.
I see one that's 773-574.
Caller, question or comment?
Comment, question, please speak.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a listener. Just tomorrow you're coming as a listener.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Looks like we have someone who's tried to call in. And they tell me that they're in. So that's 773-574. Are you there, listener?
Yeah. I'm in, Dr. Janine.
Oh, okay.
Question or comment, sir?
No, I'm just coming in as a listener, just coming in. Try to get in early, but I couldn't get in. Now I'm in.
Oh, okay. All right. I think I had you just a moment ago.
All right. So we have some plans that I understand that are incorporating principles that we're talking about today. And we're kind of excited about that. I'm not sure if we have enough time, number of years to pursue some of those ideas, but they certainly sound like some great ideas, like working with the schools toward creating a curriculum that allows for this information to be passed on or to the school students. And it sounds like some study, but from us. And so I would imagine this is among the topics that we're going to be looking at for the coming year. Someone was in our group was talking about supporting that. Who was that?
Yeah, I really love that idea. You know, embracing the school system.
I do too.
And, you know, and having education be, you know, based on our culture, to go beyond 1619.
Mm-hmm.
Because right, they sometimes some of the schools they'll touch on African American history.
Brother Charles, your microphone is having some challenges. It's distorting itself real bad.
Oh.
Okay, that's better. That's it.
Is that better?
Much better.
Much better.
Yeah. Let me
I take these earplugs out. And you can hear me okay now?
Yeah, real good. Yeah. They can hear you real good.
Yeah. I think, you know, when our young minds see themselves as belonging, as being worthy, then they'll invest time and effort in their education. And, you know, we just have to link into that culture, that the legacies that we have that we can stand on.
Well, Brother Charles, you were involved in an activity, I believe, in the last week, a workshop, I believe. Do you want to share that information with us?
Oh, sure, yeah. That was a program. It was a two-part series dealing with violence in our community and peacemaking. And the first part was done back in November, which basically dealt with structural and systemic causes of violence in our community. And then my part two, dealt with the effects of violence on the body and on our community, you know, how violence manifests itself in terms of trauma. And I dealt with some of the things that we can do, first of all, to create peace through conflict resolution. I call it conflict transformation, the way I practice mediation and conflict, you know, resolution. And then to get into the mindfulness practices that allows us to, you know, metabolize the trauma in our bodies on an individual basis. And then, like I was saying earlier, through collaboration and pulling together unity in our community, we can bring in all of the institutions in our community, like the families and the block clubs and the churches and the schools and law enforcement, and have unity among those four component parts to create collaboration so that we can, you know, have that kind of alignment that I mentioned earlier when I was talking about unity. One of the distinguishing qualities of having real unity is you have committed people working in those various institutions as a unit. And what we need is, you know, our leaders to articulate a vision that people can actually hear and embrace. And then at that point, we just start working together. Everybody can do something. We all may have different lanes, but we all have different gifts as well. And we can begin to share those gifts and run in our individual lanes and resolve this violence that we have that's plaguing us right now.
Well, Brother Charles, it sounds like from what you've described, it would tie in very nicely with the program that we had last week that was hosted by us on the crisis in policing. And we've noted that the guests on the program were expressing some challenges that they were having, even though they were part of the police system and that culture, but found that they were finding it difficult to bring attention to some of the challenges. And so it sounds like there's maybe some room that we can offer some assistance to persons like our guest from last week. Brother Horace, could you share some light on that, about some challenges they were having and what Brother Charles proposing in terms of conflict mediation?
Sure. Well, one of the things that they were talking about is whenever they did see situations arise where they felt people were being untreated. And we talked about the whistleblower, anybody that comes forward because they feel something was done wrong to someone. And they were treated unfairly. And that kind of thing picks up. And, you know, so the support from a command staff or even from other officers, it makes it really difficult for someone to step forward when somebody is doing something wrongful or criminal to someone, some citizen on the street. And so when we look at people to be an authority, then, you know, like you said, you want to bring them into the school. You have a lack, or schools are anywhere, there's a lack of trust because we know that there are things that go on and they're not dealt with. And there's this quiet immunity that goes on where people just feel invincible and so they continue. And this has been a problem that we've been dealing with for such a long time. And some of the callers that we had in, Ricky Burns, who was a detective, Pamela Holmes, who was a sergeant, and they both indicated that, you know, they tried to reach out to command staff on how to correct things and do things, but they just weren't listening to them at that time. And the more they talked about things, the more their situations changed for the worse, whether they didn't get a promotion or they were held back in the situation and so forth. So those kind of things kept people from moving forward. Yes, they persevered in time. And when we say persevere, they didn't get fired. There's a lot of people that go through these situations and so forth, and they just give up and they leave the job because they just don't want to deal with the mess. And it gets dangerous. I mean, because there was a young lady that I used to work with, and she became a Milwaukee officer, but she ended up telling about some of the things that went on, and so they wouldn't back her up on the streets. And that's a common thing that happens. So it's a difficult situation. A lot of people understand what goes on and how we go about dealing with that and trying to ask people that probably shouldn't be doing those jobs. You know, so they're going to have to do a better job at vetting or however they're screening and getting these people to be officers. You know, there are a lot of good people that are out there, but how good are you if you're watching some horrific thing going on and not saying and doing anything about it? So that becomes difficult, and that becomes difficult when we try to get together with people and talk about, you know, policing and so forth. So that's why a lot of programs, you know, they're trying to defund a lot of the things that go on. Yes, we need police, but we need good police. And there are some good ones, but a lot of the people are, like I said, scared to step up for, you know, fear of losing their job or worse. So it's a difficult situation, and that's kind of what I took out of it. And there were some things that weren't said and probably should have been said. I mean, so, you know, but, you know, you still have to live in this society and have a relationship with people. That's just the way I saw that conversation. But we're going to have more conversations like that and see where that goes. I know that on my end, when I was doing law enforcement, you know, I dealt with a lot of that. And there were a lot of people that just didn't want to hear what I had to say. And the people that did listen to me, there was nothing that they could do about it. You know, so that made it very frustrating for a person like myself. But I took what they gave me, and I'm still here now.
Well, I think if we're practicing the unity that we're talking about for Kwanzaa, that we can accomplish all things. And as we're getting closer to the end for today, I want to remind you that sponsors are welcomed for information about the programs. Please go to our website, timeforawakening.com. And if you have a service you'd like others to know about, or if you've written a book we need to read, consider becoming a sponsor. Email us. We gave the email address and also include the Black Reality Think Tank at Sankofa_think@outlook.com. And contributions to support our broadcast efforts can be made to the Cash App at $Nirvana, STI, and PayPal to Sankofa_think@outlook.com. This information is also available on www.timeforawakening.com. And it's time, I guess, that we're coming toward the our closure. And I'm going to leave that for Mother Shabaka and Brother Horace, if you would.
All right. Again, we thank you guys for all your support and for being with us for the Kwanzaa celebration. And we look forward to seeing you in 2021. Everyone be safe. Much love and respect for everybody. Thank you again. Black Reality Think Tank and Elders of Sankofa. Thank you, Mother.
First fruits of harvest, Umoja, Uhuru, unity and freedom, Ujima, Ujama, Kukumba, Kujitatalia, Imani and Nia. Thank you.